Jesus, give God the glory, glory.
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross.
want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church, and so good to see everybody. Want to do things a little different this morning, and honoring the Lord Jesus as we do each and every Sunday, but this Sunday morning and next Sunday morning in particular. And today is Palm Sunday, and which starts off the week leading up to the crucifixion, and this is also known as Passion Week. And a lot took place in this week, and I want to say that a lot can take place over a small amount of time in our lives as well, the same way the Lord accomplished a lot. Bring the message last Sunday night for this Sunday night, and
so remember that.
Also Easter Sunday morning.
Next Sunday, of course, no PM service, and then I want to mention this: our last Sunday of the month, on that evening, is normally regularly our Sunday night fellowship hall, but we're going to do things different this month. We'll make it a little more exciting.
A lot of our newer members have never been there before, and so this would be a great opportunity for you to come and check out and see by your own eye what's taking place with our young people. And we're just so proud of our children's home, so proud of our young people that are excelling there. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll bless the, and then we'll take up the offering, and then I believe we have another song. We'll maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't think we do. We'll get right into the message. Father, we love you today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you do. Lord, I'm so very thankful that you made your entry that day riding on a donkey. And God, that spoke volumes to the people, or at least it should, that you came to bring peace, not war. And that your kingdom wasn't going to be at that time on earth to extinguish and take care of the Romans and their power, but it was going to be at a later time. And so, Father, we thank you for Palm Sunday. We, as Father has been shown already this morning, coming in with the drama skit and the palm branches, singing Hosanna, save now. God, we're so very thankful that you are our Savior and the Savior of the world. And we do. We lift our palms, O Lord, with praise and say thank you for who you are and for what you do. God, I pray that you bless this offering. Let it be used for your honor and your glory. Use the message this morning to be a blessing to some heart. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
course, we always want to welcome our visitors and say we're so thankful for you being with us in the service this morning. When I think about, I want to say before I have us turn to our verses, but when I think about the life of Christ, I think about five symbols. Five symbols. An arrow pointing down, a cross, a tomb, an arrow pointing up, and an arrow pointing back down. And what that means is Jesus came to earth, he bled and he died, he was buried, he rose again, ascended back to the Father, and guess what? He's coming again for the church one day. And so we look forward to his appearing and our disappearing. What a blessing that'll be. We had the opportunity to go to the Braves game Friday night, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm glad I brought my hoodie, and Christy brought the hand warmers. But I never sat where we sat before, at least. It's been a very long time. Very good seats, different kind of perspective for where we're sitting. We were sitting in the upper deck part behind, I guess, the foul pole in left field. And when I first sat down, I was a little wobbly because of the, you know, just the seating. And after a while, of course, I got used to it, and we had a great time. But I was thinking as we were there in that upper deck, you know, how for just a moment I was thinking how things must look from heaven's point of view down here on earth, from the Lord's point of view. And so I had me a spiritual moment on Friday night. And again, it was a wonderful night on Friday night. This doesn't have a thing to do with my message this morning. I just wanted to say those couple things as I try to get the cart rolling here. But anyway, again, are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're so glad to have this opportunity to stand one more time and to preach God's word. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Chapter 55. Most of the time I like to speak on subjects that are suitable for the occasion, the holiday. And God is witness that I spent all of yesterday studying out and looking at years gone by while I preached on Palm Sunday. And those that preach and teach know if you're planning on speaking and there's just no life in it, it's not going to do what it's intended to do. Only a preacher or teacher would know that. And so we're not going in the way of Palm Sunday in the text this morning. Isaiah 55, I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 8. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for Brother Allen, oh God, and what he had prepared for us this morning, Lord, how touching it was. Lord, how it changed the morning in a good way. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for him and his dedication, the choir members, Lord, all that they did, just for that moment of time to just say thank you in a form of a drama skit introduction, to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done for us. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, that you would remove me from the way. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would use your word. Oh God, use your word, Holy Spirit, apply the word to the hearts of those that are listening. And Father, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's reading Isaiah 55, verse number 8 down through verse number 11. Many times in life we come to places where we just don't understand. Just don't understand. And when we get to those places where we just don't understand, we try spiritual multiplication. I don't know about you or not, but that's what I do. I try to add up my time of serving the Lord. I try to add up my faithfulness to Him. I try to add up the decisions that I've made and we've made as a family. And then I put the equation on there, or I put the equal, and it's supposed to say always feeling good. It's supposed to say always doing good, always on the mountaintop. But we try this spiritual multiplication. I know I'm not the only one that does that. I'm sure you do that as well from time to time. More specifically, you might say, well, I did this, and now this happened. Or, I didn't expect this to happen, living for Jesus, but it happened. And so this is spiritual multiplication, where we try to make sense out of life's dilemmas, life's setbacks, life's heartaches. And so many times when you hit the answer button, it doesn't always say good times. It doesn't always say it makes sense. It doesn't always say happily ever after, although our lives will be happily ever after one day. So many times in life we come to these places where we just don't understand. So this morning I want to look, if I could, into this situation, this intersection of life we come to often. And I want to preach for a few moments on this topic, the ways of God. The ways of God. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell, or stand here and tell you that I know everything about the ways of God, because I don't. But I do know what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us that His ways are not our ways. The Bible tells us that His ways are higher than our ways. And if that is true, and it is, then there's going to be times where His ways and our ways intersect in life. Just doesn't make sense. So I want to mention a few things that surround this subject. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 8 and 9 that His ways are highways. His ways are highways. This has to do with perception. This has to do with the things we don't understand. Let's read again verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This morning, God's ways are highways. His ways are different than our ways. He is operating, and He is operating, so to speak, from heaven, and He is definitely looking at the bigger picture. But we down here, all we see is the here and the now. I heard a story one time of a man who walked in a rug factory. And when he walked in the rug factory, a general manager was giving him a tour of all the beautiful rugs that were made. And they walked into the productivity of the product area where the rugs were actually designed and made. And the man looked up, and there were all of these threads going across the ceiling from right to left, and He said, what's all those threads? Why are they up there in the air? Why? What's going on? There's a red one. There's a blue one. There's a green one, a yellow one. There's all these different colors. What's going on? So he said, well, follow me. And the man took them, and they walked up a spiral staircase. And when they got on the balcony, they were able to overlook the operations floor. And it was a beautiful, beautiful rug, rugs being made. You see, he had to go up a little higher to understand what was going on down there on the floor. And I want to say this morning that God's ways are highways. He is operating. He is looking at the bigger picture. He is providentially working in our life. And sometimes it involves pain. Sometimes it involves sorrow. Sometimes it involves losing a job. Sometimes it involves losing a house. Sometimes it involves these things in our life. Also, it involves good things. Also, it involves good times. But the Lord Jesus, He is working all of these things together for good. I remember one time I went into Home Depot back when we were living in our old house. And I went in there and I said, all right, I like to have this color shade gray. By the way, for those that don't know, I like gray. one day I'll have gray hair and maybe I'll continue to rejoice with gray. But I went in Home Depot and I said, I want this gray. The kind of gray we want in our kitchen is called shark fin gray. And so he said, okay, shark fin gray coming up. And he plugged it in on the computer, and these little spouts, he had a can under it. He pressed the button, and red went in there. And no, I'm not kidding. Yellow went in there. And I'm thinking, I said, sir, hold on, I want a gray here. Oh, I know. We're making that up for you. And then blue and you know, all these kind of colors. And I'm thinking, there is no way gray is going to come out of that. There is absolutely no way. And I want to tell you, by the time all those spouts were emptied out, and he put the lid on it and then put it in the what I call the agitator. Started shaking it up real fast and vibrating. He took it out and put it on the counter. He popped the top. He says, was this the gray you was looking for? I said, absolutely. That's the gray I was looking for. Don't know how you did it. So many ways of the Lord is like that. We don't know what He's doing in our life. At very best, we have an inkling of what He's doing. And listen, He is working on all ends of the spectrum. He takes the good, the bad, the ugly, and all of those things, and He mixes it together for His ultimate purpose. God's ways this morning are highways. And this has to do with perception. Again, the Bible says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so in verse number 8 and 9, we see that His highways has to do with understanding. But now I want you to notice in verse number 10 and 11, His ways are highways. This has to do with something being accomplished. I know I spoke about that for just a second. A moment ago, but I want to allude to it a little more in a different fashion. This also has to do with something God wants to accomplish, His ways being highways. Now, verse number 10, look what He says. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so now He's given us a visual. He is saying that my ways are higher than your ways. You may not always understand what I'm doing. He says it's kind of like the rain that comes down. The rain that comes down and then the snow from heaven. It comes down, but it doesn't go back up. Because it has a purpose for coming down. It sinks into the earth and it brings forth, as the Bible says, and buds, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so we see that when it comes to the Lord and his ways have to do with accomplishment. God is wanting to do something with what he's allowing in your life. It may not make sense. You may not be able to fully perceive what's going on, but at the end of the day, God is up to something. Turn, if you would, for a moment. Hold your place here and turn to John chapter number 11. John 11. You remember the story of Lazarus when he was sick? And we know in John chapter number 11 in verse 1, Lazarus was sick. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We know Lazarus was sick. And so the natural idea would be from those that loved Lazarus and himself was, call for Jesus that he may heal me. Of course, we go to the doctor first, and then Jesus is normally our last resort. But that would be the train of thinking. Call for Jesus that he may heal me. The sisters, call for Jesus that he may heal Lazarus. Well, that's what they did. Verse number 3 says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But look in verse number 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, why in the world would Jesus allow his friend to shrivel up and die, and Mary and Martha, the beloved sisters, stand there weeping bitterly, having told Jesus, and yet he did not come? Why in the world would the Lord allow that to happen? So many times in life, I even think about my life. Lord, why did you allow this to happen that way? God, why did you allow this to happen that way? And sometimes we have the answers and other times we don't. But I want you to notice something as to why he allowed Lazarus to die and why he abode 2 days still where he was at. At least two answers I have for you. Number one, look if you would in verse number 15. He's talking to the disciples. The disciples think he's asleep. Jesus says he's dead. Verse number 15 says this, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's strong language. He told the disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there. But he didn't stop. He says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, comma, to the intent that you may believe. How about that? And so number one, the reason why Jesus stayed where he was at and did not respond on the dime when the sisters wanted him to respond is because Jesus had a miracle in the making. Jesus was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. And if Jesus did that, it would deepen, it would sharpen, it would grow the faith of those disciples like never before. Oh, Jesus could have just walked over there at Mary and Martha's beck and call, said, oh, yes, I'm here. Okay, Lazarus, come forth. Or Lazarus wouldn't even died yet. Oh, okay, I'll touch Lazarus. There you go, Lazarus, I touched you. Are you better? Yeah, I'm better. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me ask you. What situation would have caused the faith of the family and those around to grow and deepen more? When he would have answered their beck and call and, boom, you're healed? Or if he showed up when they thought he was late and called him forth from that tomb? It's the second. Listen, I don't know all the reasons why God does what he does in our lives, but I do know this. That his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there's times where I want Jesus to enter my equation and I want Him to show up and show out. And many times He does not do that. He lingers and He waits. And He's somewhere in the shadows, I think. But based upon Scripture and the principles of God's Word, God is up to something. God could just be preparing a miracle in your life. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Those disciples, He told them, He said, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe." How many this morning are got things you're praying about where you need God to just push through? Probably all of us. How many this morning need God to invade your equation? You need God to interrupt matters that are taking place right now. And it seems as though God doesn't even care. We know He cares. What I want you to see this morning is that God is up to something. And one thing that He's up to is that He's trying to sharpen our faith. He's trying to strengthen our faith. He is trying to prepare us for the next step. Now, one of two reasons why I believe he stayed where He was at. Number one, it was for their good, the disciples' good, to strengthen their faith. It was for Mary and Martha's faith. But also in verse number 45, it was for the salvation of others. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. People got saved because of their situation. People trusted in Jesus because of the magnitude of how things changed. Lazarus was dead. He was buried and then he rose again. That caused others to believe. Jesus in your life may be using your situation so that as an opportunity for you to keep on walking with Him, to keep on talking with Him, and so that somebody over here might see you in your situation. You're keeping on. You're not giving up. You're continuing. And somebody back here is saying, "Listen, there's something a little more to that Christian over there that says they believe in Jesus and they're saved. If that was me, I would have quit. If that happened to my family, I would have given up. But no, no, no. Jesus has you in the storm of your life, and you don't know what you're going to do. But could it be that Jesus is using you to be a light to some soul?" I think so this morning. I think God is wanting to use some people, even in the midst of tragedy, to be a blessing to a lost and dying world. You remember the three Hebrews that were thrown in the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? Well, and we know that the furnace was turned up that much more hotter. And then there was a fourth man in the fire. And that was a preappearance of Jesus Christ, I believe. And guess what Nebuchadnezzar says? "Take these men out of the fire." He started bragging about. He said, "Their God is the God." Nebuchadnezzar's life was changed because these three Hebrews that were in the fire. He seen Jesus with them in the fire. And their life was forever changed. His life was forever changed. God is using you with your strains, your setbacks, your dilemmas, the situation that you're in. God is using that to be a light to someone. Amen. Keep on walking with Jesus. Keep on talking with Him. And so this morning we see that one reason why Jesus stayed where He was at, because it was for their good. But then, most of all, it was for His glory. We're here in John 11. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus is wanting to get glory through your life. Jesus is wanting to touch souls through your life. Jesus is wanting to shine through your life, not just on the mountaintops when anybody can shout, but down in the valley when things are terrible, they're wasteful, you're thinking about throwing in the towel and even quitting, that's when Jesus wants to allow you to shine. Anybody can shout on the mountaintops. But then let one of them Monday mornings roll around where the rug is pulled out from underneath you. Huh? Some of you that work jobs are nodding your head. You already know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Check that, fire that computer up and get 900 emails of complaint. You hadn't even been on vacation, y'all, them emails. And then your coworkers are being in opposition to you, and things are difficult. And then you get the phone call of, you know, you got to be at the schoolhouse because of the problem down there. And then you got to be at your house a little bit later because, you know, you got to talk with your spouse about some things. And then you get another phone call and someone has cancer. You get another phone call, someone's died. And what do you do? What do you do? It's during those times where true salvation is seen. It's during those times when God sharpens our faith. It's during those times when He wants to have His banner above us, and where we're walking and talking in the fire, and it says, we belong to Jesus. We belong to Him. Anyways, I want to say this morning that His ways are highways. His ways are highways. And so in the story of Lazarus, we see that this was done for the glory of God. This was done to the intent that others might believe. Back in Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah 55. And so we see that His ways are highways. Number two, when we're talking about the ways of God, not only His ways are highways, but His ways involve pathways. His ways involve pathways. You say, what do you mean pathways? I told you to turn back to Isaiah. Make your way to Psalm 119, if you would. 105. His ways involve pathways. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And so the ways of God has to do with pathways. This has to do with God directing us. God leading us. God this morning has a path for all of us. He guides us. He guides our feet one step at a time. If we're in the woods this morning, if we were in the woods and we were on this pathway and we can't see everything around us, all the twists and turn, if we were on a wooded path, couldn't see anything, couldn't see the entire path in front of us, none of these things, that would be difficult. But that's the way that God has it for us. He doesn't show us the end from the beginning. We are on a pathway like the pathway, the trail in the woods. All we could see is the here and the now. The wilderness is this world. And we can't see the entire path. And I'm kind of glad we can't see the entire path. I don't know about you. I'm kind of glad there's a bend in the road from time to time. I'm glad that I can't see the full path in front of me, because if Jesus allowed me to see what was in front of me at times, I may just retreat on Him. I may be tempted to give up on Him. I may be tempted to go back to my own ways if I was able to see the end from the beginning. And so the Lord allows us to walk step by step, twists and turns, mountains and valleys. And so when He does this, He guides us. It's on pathways, one step at a time. Again, I'm glad that He doesn't show us everything, because some of us will quit before we even got started. Let me give you some examples of how He guides step by step. Noah and his ark. We won't turn there, but in Genesis 6, verse 14 through 22, it was step by step that led to the greater picture of the ark. It was Noah, I want you to build an ark. Then he says, of gopher wood. Then it gets down to the pitch and the rest of the ingredients, the rest of the material. And then after all of those years comes the ark. And then the storm. And then Noah was safe in the ark with the animals. And then there came a day where he was led out onto dry ground and Noah owned everything. You see, it's step by step we're to follow the Lord, not the whole thing at one time. I like what someone said one time, you can eat a whole elephant one bite at a time. What about Joshua and Jericho? They were to march six times around the walls, and on the seventh time, seven more times, and blow the trumpets and horns and shout and all of those things. And then the walls would fall. Had to do it the first time first. Then the second time. Then the third time. You see, it's step by step by step. What about Elisha and Naaman? You remember Naaman the leper? He had leprosy. And he wanted immediate healing for his leprosy. And so he called for the man of God. And the man of God said, I got instruction for you. And this is what it is. And I kind of like how Elijah handled that. You know, he didn't say, send him on in and let me deal with him and counsel him about his leprosy and, you know, all of these things. But he gave him instruction. He gave him some things to do. He told him to go down to the River Jordan and dip seven times, and then he'd be made whole. And so Naaman went one time, and he dipped, and there was nothing. I'm sure in the mind of Naaman and in the heart of Naaman, he was thinking, you liar, you told me to go and dip in the River Jordan, and I'm not even healed. Well, he had to go a second time. That's what the word said, go a second time. He went, and he dipped, and nothing, all the way, six times, nothing. And I think often, what would have happened if Naaman didn't dip that seventh time? What would have happened if Naaman would have got frustrated and got mad and angry and said, this isn't working. I don't care what you told me. This is not going to work. I'm leaving. And I'm just going to die with my leprosy. Then he would have never gotten healed. But he went that last time and he was healed. You're here this morning and you're doing your very best to follow God's word. You're doing what he says to do. You're not perfect, but yet you're trying to walk in his steps and follow as he leads. And it seems like nothing's getting better. There's always this struggle. I want to say, don't give up on that seventh time. Don't give up going to church. Don't give up reading the Bible to your kids. Don't give up witnessing to your spouse. Don't give up putting up hedges around media in your house and cell phones and all that garbage that the devil works through. Don't give up doing that. Keep on doing that. Keep on going to church. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep telling someone about Jesus, because there's coming that ultimate time where hopefully someone would be saved. There's coming that ultimate time where God will give you that word you're looking for. There's coming that ultimate time where that prayer will get through. There's coming that ultimate and that final time where God will lift the veil and things will begin to make sense sometimes. We're talking about his ways involve pathways. And so sometimes it's step by step. I look back on some of the things that we've been through since I've been saved and we've been married. And I think, did I want to know that before? Would I just been better off of knowing this was going to happen in the beginning? No. I'm glad it was a surprise. Because how do you plan for things that come and that are tragic? How do you plan for that? You don't. You can't. But we can trust God step by step. And we can allow him to strengthen us and speak to us and build us up so that when we come to that point, we're ready to absorb that. At least we feel we are. We feel like we're going to faint sometimes. But his ways involve pathways. is what I'm trying to say. And it's step by step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is in the details, one step at a time on a path to create a bigger picture. Don't miss the details. Every day, all day, God has the details for us. Let me mention something else and we'll be through. Talking about his ways are the ways of God this morning. His ways are highways. His ways involve pathways. But then his ways are ways that are perfect. In Psalm 138, verse 8, just listen to this. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The word perfect there means complete. The words concerneth me means a matter of interest or worry. So in essence, that verse is saying the Lord will complete that which worries me. The Lord will perfect. The Lord will complete that which is a matter of interest to me. And so the Lord is in the business of bringing things to completion. The Lord is in the business of perfecting things. The Lord is in the business of producing things this morning. Now, turn to Psalm 138. I'm sorry, Psalm 18. I got a lot of chicken scratch on my notes every Sunday. It is hard to read them sometimes. Psalm 118. I'm sorry, I said Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I get aggravated with myself. Y'all don't know that by now. You ought to ask my wife sometimes. Psalm 18. His ways are ways that are perfect. They have a way of completing us. Listen to this. Psalm 18, verse number 30. As for God, His way is perfect. Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect or complete. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. I love verse 34. I love it. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. His ways are ways that are perfect. Sometimes it may seem as though God's ways are dark and hard to understand, and possibly they are. But David says that God's ways makes His way perfect. God's ways completes our ways. God's ways produces something in us. Look at verse number 29. David says that God's ways produces bravery and endurance. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David said that God is creating endurance in me, insomuch to run through a troop and to leap a wall. God is doing that in each and every one of us today. We don't understand His ways, but His ways are perfect ways, and He is completing us with His ways. Bravery and endurance. God is teaching some of us we just have to get over some stuff. He says, for thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Anybody got any walls up in their heart this morning? Anybody got any walls up in their minds this morning? Facebook, I'm preaching to you as well. Have been for 2 years. Anybody got any walls up in your heart? And maybe that's why you're not at church this morning. I want to say this morning, if we are going to continue with God, we got to get over and leap over some stuff in our life. Some walls got to come down. Just like the walls of Jericho. And David says, that's what God's doing to me. He's teaching me how to run through some things. Not quit. Not backslide. But face my adversity. Go through it. Don't try to escape it or go around it. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God I have leaped over a wall. God is wanting us to get through some things and over some things. Therefore, God, through His ways, are teaching us bravery and endurance. Praise the Lord. Verse 33, we have abilities, other abilities. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Again, just different abilities having to do with our Christian walk. Verse number 34, he's teaching us skill for battle. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Teacheth my hands to war. Another place says, teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God teaches us through adversity. God teaches us through these things, as in David's day, how to fight, how to overcome. And so his ways are perfect ways. And this is what God was doing in David's life. He was teaching him bravery, endurance, abilities, skill for battle, teaching him all of these things. And God is doing the very same thing in our life. Listen, if you don't believe that, what else are you going to believe? But at the end of the day, I have to believe what the Bible says. I believe the whole Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. I believe Genesis to Revelation is for us. In some fashion, some way, there's a message for us. And if I'm undergoing hardship and I'm struggling, I'm doing the very best I can do for God, I have to believe He is teaching me endurance. I have to believe He is teaching me how to fight the right way. I have to believe that He's teaching me how to deal with my problems and overcome adversity. I have to believe that. There's nothing else to believe. This morning, again, I'll just say that there is no way that I can accurately and the right way articulate and preach the ways of God. But I can say this, that God's ways aren't our ways. His ways are highways. His ways are, they involve pathways. His ways are ways that are perfect. And when I don't know what's going on, all I got to do is understand that God is up to something. I like thinking about that story of the man in the rug factory because it makes perfect sense. A lot of times down here we may not see and know what's going on. Ultimately, the big picture, he looked up there and saw them threads. But when he got up there, he seen the perfect picture. It was a rug, a beautiful rug. Things change from heaven's point of view. So if you need to come this morning and pray, you do so. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you'd use the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you need to come this morning.